Thank Robert for that wonderful song. And we are thankful for all the work that the men have done this morning in our worship. It is such a joy to have so many doing such a great job with the communion and the offering and the prayers and the scripture reading. And we should be thankful that we have men who are willing to put forth the effort to work among us here at this congregation. You know, yesterday our good members opened their hearts to young people and old alike, and they taught lessons about the Lord. And one of the themes of that lesson is Jesus provides. And teaching of how Jesus fed 5,000 hungry people, plus men and women, with just five little loaves of bread and two fish. Jesus has the power to provide anything and everything that we need. And so many put forth an effort, such great effort in the preparation, and the result was grand. We had just an amazing assembly here yesterday, and the word of the Lord went out from this congregation, just like Paul wrote of the Thessalonians. When the Apostle Paul said that we, the apostles, we don't need to say anything anymore because the word of the Lord has gone out from you. And that's exciting to me. And we need to continue the trend, and we need to let the congregation here continue to labor and make these days special. And I believe that's very pleasing to the Lord what we did. And I'd like to reach out to the hearts and the souls that are here today with the theme that Jesus does indeed provide, and that He provides relief for the hurting. He provides help in times of trouble. The three simple words, though, that are required. If you have troubles in your life, if you're not quite right with the Lord, the three simple words that you must utter or I have sinned. Words of the mouth of paupers and out of the mouths of kings. Once spoken, they direct one's heart to the realization of their own state, their own sins, their own depth of sadness. And Jesus can provide help in these times of trouble. And listen, this will happen to every good and honest soul that has ever lived, assuming they don't die in their sins. The Bible tells us, in fact, that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And because of that truth, we know that God cannot lie. Paul said that in Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. All have sinned. So all have hearts. And everyone whose heart can receive the Word of God. Everyone whose heart can receive the Word of God. Jesus has the power to change. And when we do realize that we are indeed sinners, and sometimes it takes something powerful to cause us to accept the fact that we are sinners. And sometimes, as people say, you gotta reach the bottom before you can look up to the top. And coming from a place of agony and despair isn't always necessary. We have troubles and experiences in our lives, and for some, it may just simply be a sudden realization that, yeah, I'm a sinner. I have not been obeying Christ. Maybe all my life I've loved Jesus, but I haven't been obeying the truth. And there are some people who are here in this assembly today or maybe in some Bible study that may hear the Word of God and recognize their sinful state and see the need to obey the Lord, period. If you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, you're that person this day. Our scripture that was read to you this morning in Isaiah chapter 59 verses 1 and 2 says, "Behold, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that He cannot save." You see, it's not God that keeps us in our troubles. It's not God who holds us down and oppresses us in sin. It's not God that causes sorrows. It's not God that causes confusion. It's not God that causes pain. No. His ear's not so heavy that He can't hear. His hand not so weak that He can't reach out and help you. But your iniquities have separated you from God. The good news is that there's hope. Because Jesus, through the Holy Spirit of truth, gives us power to change. And listen, this isn't power to change only for that sinner, that despicable person. This is power to change for every Christian in this room. Because we're not perfect. We're just on our way to being perfect. I'm not perfect. I'm on my way to being perfect. Now, I have things that need to be changed in my life. And when we see those things come around, we turn to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, and He gives you the power to change. Jesus is not without strength, but He has power over sin. He gives us victory through His atoning blood. That's what the Scriptures teach us there. It isn't God, but it's us. And so we need to realize this truth. Fundamental. You know, the amazing grace that Paul explains is the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. Titus chapter 2. Today, I wish to prove that Jesus has the power to change anyone's heart in this room, anyone who struggles in this room, anyone who desires to come to the faith but out of weakness has stood back. Jesus is here to help you this day. He wants you to come forward. Every member of this congregation wants you to come forward. And most importantly, to guide you in the paths of righteousness that one day will bring you home to heaven. That one day will take you home to be in the abode of the Father Himself. And that one day that you will find eternal rest from your sorrows, from your troubles. And let's consider just a little bit here how Jesus does indeed provide us all with the power to change. First of all, He provides us all with hope. That's a wonderful word, isn't it? To have hope. I can tell you from firsthand experience that there was a time in my life when I did not have hope. And I will also tell you that when you reach that point in life, you're not only at the bottom, but you only see one way out, and that's to die. Suicide is not uncommon in our country today. And in fact, it's more common among young people today who have not been brought up to have hope. They've been brought up in a world of despair, a world of confusion, a world of many opinions. But the Bible teaches that does not have to be so. In Paul's letter to the Ephesians, Paul describes a people who are without hope. Let's turn to the book of Ephesians together. Ephesians chapter 2. And we're going to read verses 11 through 18. Paul writes, "Therefore, remember that you once were Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made in the flesh by hands. But at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of the promise, having no hope without God in the world." That's what these people were. They were a people destitute, without hope, without God. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For He Himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, that is the law of the commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in Himself one new man from two, thus making peace. And that He might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And He came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Jesus gives us hope. And He gives us that hope because He died upon the cross. And not only died on the cross, not only was His blood shed, but then He arose from that grave 3 days later. And that's hope. Because then we can have that home in heaven, that home in eternity, that home with the Father to abode with Him. And He says, "For through Him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father." Do you see that through His sacrifice, His own blood, Jesus offers hope that provides strength for the weak and the change from hopelessness to the access of the Spirit of God, a new life. And we're talking about the Word of life that came down from heaven, that wonderful and powerful message of God, the mind of Christ that we were given through the Word. Jesus provides hope. And I can attest to that hope. Because that hope saved my life. That hope allowed me to be married to my wonderful wife. That hope allowed me to have children, to raise them up in the admonition of the Lord. That hope allowed me to stand before you this day and proclaim Jesus Christ as my Savior. And that there is only one way, one truth, and one life that will ever get anyone into heaven. And that hope that will take you out of the desperation of life, out of the confusion of life, and lead you on a road to peace and contentment and understanding. And that hope leads us to something. That hope led me to something. By the reading the Word of God, it led me to where Jesus could provide forgiveness of sin. And understand that in Acts chapter 13, in verse 38, it says, "Therefore let it be known, brethren, that through this man, Jesus, is preached to you the forgiveness of sin." We read our Bibles and we learn about that forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul, he says that in Him, Christ, in Him, Jesus, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. In Jesus, we can have that forgiveness of sins because He provides that for us. Such power over change the Lord provides to every single soul. Every soul. Through the blood of Jesus. through His blood, you have opportunity to change simply by repenting of your sin and turning to God. It's that easy. Such power and yet such simplicity. In Acts chapter 3 and verse 19, we're instructed to repent, therefore, to be converted, that our souls and our sins, rather, may be blotted out. I want you to think about that phrase, that our sins may be blotted out, so that the times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. You see, His power is in His presence. That power to cause the forgiveness of sin, to bring us hope, comes from the presence of the Lord. Not from the mind of man. Not from the heart of man. Not from the thoughts of man. Not from the mighty works of any man. But from Jesus Christ, our Lord. And listen, that word that to blot out. Notice that word. It's a real simple Greek word, ekalepho. Strong says it's to anoint or to wash in every part, to wipe off or to wipe away, to obliterate, to erase, to wipe out and to blot out. You know, when we think of that word, I thought of the whiteboards that we have in our classrooms. We put a new one in this classroom and put a little marker on it and tested it. And it works. You think about that whiteboard. Think about what God said in Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25. He said, I am he who blots out. That's what God said. I am him who blots out what? Your transgressions for my own sake. You know what that means? That God has the ability to wipe out your transgressions, but He does it for His own sake, for His own pleasure, because God so loved the world. He gave His only begotten Son so that we can have that blotting out, the forgiveness of sin and hope. That whiteboard of life. That whiteboard contains our sins. And I didn't list all the sins. Fornication, idolatry, adultery, homosexuality, sodomy, stealing, lying, covetousness, alcohol and drugs. But there's so many others, isn't there? Refusing the truth is the greatest sin of all. Jesus said the only sin that can't be forgiven is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. And that's refusing the very Word of God. That's speaking against God's Word. So many people in this world speak against God's Word, and they do it with all the faith they can muster up. You're saved by faith only, speaking against God's Word. You don't have to be baptized to be saved, speaking of God's against God's Word. Baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace, speaking against God's Word. Baptism just is an identification with Christ. No, baptism puts you in the only church that exists on earth, the only place where you can have hope, the only place where forgiveness works. They speak against God's Word. These sins on the blackboards of our lives, the only one who has the power to remove that sin is God. And when He blots it out, that word means it's just eradicated. It's wiped out. It's completely washed off. When we give ourselves over to Jesus, He just wipes out the past of sin. He gives us to be a new creation, a new creature. Jesus said, whoever overcomes shall be clothed in white garments. That white garment is the whiteboard of our lives. It's all that sin just washed away, wiped out, eradicated. And at the same time, the Lord says, I will not blot out His name from the book of life. I will confess His name before the Father and before His angels. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 5. Don't you want your name confessed before the Father? Don't you want your name professed before the angels? And don't you want your name in that Lamb's book of life? Don't you want the hope and the forgiveness that Jesus, by His own power, can provide? I know you do. There just isn't any reason that's acceptable not to put on the white garment, to wipe away all the sins in your life by the power that Jesus provides to change. You don't have to live with sin. And I've got to tell you that sin is such a little word. A tiny little word. Three letters, S-I-N, just like I have sinned. And listen, it's any sin. The Apostle Paul told the Galatian church that if you're guilty of one point of the law, you're guilty of the whole law. Have you ever lied? You're a sinner. Have you ever taken a pencil that wasn't yours? You're a sinner. It doesn't have to be adultery and fornication and homosexuality. All it has to be is that I know what the Word of God says in my heart. I've heard it and I know it, but I'm just not going to believe it. I'm not going to act upon it. I'm not going to accept it. You're a sinner. But with Jesus, we have the power to change. You don't have to live continually in your past sins. There just isn't any reason. Jesus also provides us with the power to change our lives and to live a new life in Him. We have the power to change and a power to live a new life. Every soul that comes to faith, the realization that God is true and every man is a liar, the realization that I have sinned, everyone who realizes that has the opportunity by the power that Jesus provides to simply change directions. We're not committed to hell. We commit ourselves to hell. And we're not committed to heaven. We commit ourselves to heaven. We're to save ourselves, the Scripture says. In 2 Corinthians chapter, the 5th chapter, the Apostle Paul, he writes, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. See, only Jesus can do that. You're a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A change by the power of Jesus. You know, this points back to the conversation that Jesus had with a Pharisee named Nicodemus in the night. When Jesus told that Pharisee, you must be born of water and of spirit if you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. And he could be saved by that. In Christ, you have the power to live different, to walk in a newness of life, as Paul put it in the book of Romans, chapter 6 and verse 4. This new life in Christ promises better things. You don't have to have the anxiety that I want to. You don't have to live with the words, I can't. You live with the words, I can, from then on. Nothing can hold you back. Nothing. Somewhere in your heart are the words that I want to, I want to, I want to. Today I want to. I want to get up. Today I want to. But there's another thing in your heart that's holding you back, saying, no, you can't.
You can't do it.
Let me tell you, I want to is the Lord Himself, and I can't is the devil. The devil tells you you can't. The Lord says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Better things. Jesus promotes a better, provides rather a better way of life. And He gives you a way to put away that old weak I can't, and to walk a new path without sin. And that brings peace. It brings peace. And it brings hope. And it's filled with forgiveness. A new creature has to put off the old ways. You know, God's not going to grab you by the nape of the neck and like we do with our kids, grab them by the ear and say, come. He's not going to do that. You have to put off the old ways. You have to desire the riches of heaven and that crown of life more valuable than your old ways. But you know, you can't do it on your own. Look at the book of Colossians in chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 through 17. We're not going to read the whole thing, but listen to what he says in the very first verse there. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on not on the things of the earth, but on the things from above. And then when Christ, who is our life appears, then you will also appear with Him in glory. See that? Hope, forgiveness, power to change your life. The end result is to appear with Him in glory. Paul writes in verse 8, that we, it's 7, that we once walked in disobedience. In verse 8 he says, but now you yourselves are to put off these things, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, the only unforgivable sin, the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, filthy language out of your mouth. Do not lie to one another, since you have put off the old man with his deeds. You put on the new man. Verse 12, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another, forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do. And above all these things, put on love, the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father through Him. You see what power you have through the word. All these things are provided by our Lord Jesus. So I'm praying that you can see this right now today. That you do have the power to change. You do have the power to move on what your convictions are and not to be stuck by the devil. One reason why we want to consider that Jesus provides the power to overcome that devil. Just as Jesus overcame the devil. In Matthew chapter 4 and 11, we know for sure what Jesus did when He was tempted by that old devil. You know, the devil came to Jesus, and Jesus was hungry and thirsty, and He told him, turn these stones to bread. And Jesus turned to God. He turned to the Word of God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. He took him up to the holy city, and He set him on a pinnacle. He says, throw yourself down. And Jesus turned again to God. It's written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. He took him up on a high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms. And the devil told him, I'll give you these. Really? But Jesus, he didn't say, well, they're already mine. He just turned to God. He turned to God. He says, I'm not going to worship you. I'm going to worship the Lord, and Him only will I serve. See, we can do that. We've been shown by Jesus, the great example, that we have power to change. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 57 and 58, Paul writes, but thanks be to God who gives us victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then he says something interesting. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. It's not in vain in the Lord, because the Lord gives you hope. The Lord can give you forgiveness. The Lord can direct you to a new way of life. And the Lord has power to overcome the devil. In John 16 and 33, the Lord Himself said, listen to what He said, be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. We can have great cheer in the Lord because in His power, He's overcome the world. There's nothing left for us to do but to get on and to live our lives for Jesus, to obey Him, to be baptized in the waters of baptism for the remission of our sins, to be added to the one and only church. And then we can have good cheer because we're now attached to the one who's overcome the world. We now are victors just like Jesus. Overcoming the world and overcoming sin and overcoming problems, that's Jesus' specialty. And we know that by His example, when He was tempted, He overcame. When He was ridiculed, He overcame. When He was on that cross and dead and buried, He overcame. You know, John writes in 1 John, young men, they've overcome the wicked one. In verse 4 of chapter 4, you are of God, little children. You've overcome them. Because He who is in you is greater than he is in the world. 5 and 4. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And listen, faith doesn't sit when it knows it has to move. Faith is not afraid. You see, faith, love, they cast out fear. In chapter 5 and verse 5, he said, who is he who overcomes? There's a good question. Who is it that overcomes? And we're not talking about Jesus. But who is it that can overcome the world? Who is it that can overcome all the sin? Who is it that can overcome the power of the devil? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. You see that? Believe Jesus. He'll provide you with the power to overcome the trials, the troubles, the sin. He'll provide you with the power to change your life. And ultimately, to receive that crown that no one will receive apart from those who are in Him. Because all spiritual blessings are found in Christ. Every spiritual blessing, and that includes righteousness, that includes salvation. And if you're not believing in Him. If you have not been baptized for one reason and one reason only, to have your sins washed away and to be added to the church, then you don't receive the crown of life. Just quickly, a couple Bible examples. Jesus provides the power to change. He did that for Peter. Matthew records the lowest point in Peter's life when he agonized and when he had denied Jesus three times in Matthew chapter 26. You can read about that. And beginning in the 69th verse, a servant girl comes and he denies. In verses 71 and 72, another girl comes and he denies. He says, "I do not know the man." In 73 and 74, the other people are around about him. And Peter adamantly, with an oath, denied knowing the Lord. And you know what the saddest part of all that is? It's the book of Luke chapter 22 and verse 61. Says that when he denied the Lord for the third time and that rooster crowed, do you know what happened? Peter was looking this way to the Lord, and the Lord just turned his head and he looked at Peter. They made eye contact. Can you imagine how that made Peter feel, to look into the eyes of the Lord that he just denied? The one who he swore up and down he would never deny. Jesus remembered the words of the Lord. And he went out and wept bitterly. There's no reason for you to weep today. But there is reason for you to stop and meditate and contemplate what it would mean to look into the eyes of the Lord while you just sin. To look into the eyes of the Lord knowing that you're still in your sins. Would you consider this day how you would feel if the Lord would return this very moment and you meet Him eye to eye? And let me assure you, that day is coming. Whether you die in the Lord or whether you die in your sins, the day is coming when you will meet the Lord eye to eye. And you will find yourself at the lowest part in life if you haven't obeyed Him. The good news is that Peter was restored. John chapter 21 verses 15 through 17 records that Peter, Jesus came to Peter, "Do you love me?" he says. "Do you love me? Do you love me? Of course I love you, Lord." He was restored. And Peter moved forward from that point, and he did many wonderful, powerful things. It was Peter who, being commanded by the Jews never to speak in the name of the Lord, said, "Let all the house of Israel know that God made this Jesus, whom you both crucified, Christ," or made Him Lord in Christ. Acts chapter 2 and verse 36. He told that to the very same people that crucified the Lord. And when he was commanded and threatened by the Jews not to speak in this name of Jesus, he said, "Whether it's right for you in the sight of God to listen to you, rather," he said, "I cannot speak, but the things which I have seen and which I have heard." He said that to those people. "We ought to obey God rather than men," Peter said. Can you see that Jesus provided Peter with a way out? He provided Peter with change. He gave him the power to live differently. Paul, the apostle, the same thing. He met Jesus on the road to Damascus and he saw Jesus eye to eye, even though he was blinded. But this is the apostle Paul who stood there and received the clothing and condoned the killing, the martyring, the stoning of Stephen in Acts chapter 7. That same man, Saul, who made havoc on the church, entering houses and dragging men and women off and committing them to prison, Acts chapter 8 and verse 3. That same Saul in Acts chapter 26 said he must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus. That same man who described himself as a blasphemer and a persecutor, an insolent man. But he obtained mercy. The same one who drugged people off and murdered them. But when you study the life of Paul, you'll see a man who went from a persecutor to persecuted. You'll see a man who went from causing suffering to one who suffered for the cause. Jesus gave him power to change. So equally, I would pray that you stop denying the Lord in your heart this day. That you admit simply that you're a sinner, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and that you allow yourself to be baptized for the remission of your sins to be added to His body, the church, before it's everlasting too late. Don't think it won't work for you, because it will. Jesus has the power to heal. He has the power over all your needs. He has the power to provide you with salvation. He has the power to make you whole. But only if you'll let Him in. Because all the excuses in the world won't matter the day when you come into eye and eye contact with Jesus. You'll look into the eyes of Jesus, and you can't blame Jesus for your childhood. Because when you see His eyes, you'll know none of that really mattered. You can't claim that I've always been this way and I can't change, because when you look into His eyes, you'll know that that didn't matter. You certainly cannot blame other people, because when you look in the eyes of Jesus, you'll know that didn't matter. You can't have self-pity, because that'll mean nothing when you look into the eyes of Jesus and realize it didn't matter. Your pride will cause you to lose your soul. And you'll know that for sure the day you look in the eyes of Jesus and He says to you, "Go away, I never knew you, you worker of iniquity. It wasn't you that did the will of my Father." When you look in His eyes, you'll know that. No. It will be you and Jesus, one-on-one, eye-to-eye. And you'll remember everything you heard this day and on other days. And you'll know that He had power to change your life and you didn't accept it. You'll know that He has great love for you and you didn't accept it. And you'll know that He offers to forgive you of your sins and you didn't accept it. I think those things will come to your mind that day. And you'll suffer the great separation from the Lord and from the presence of God. You know what? It's because you'll know at that time when you look in His eyes, I could have changed. You'll know when you look into His eyes that I didn't have to let that happen. You'll know that when you look in His eyes that you didn't need to wait for another day or another minute, and now it's too late. You'll know when you look in His eyes that the Lord had the power to change your life the whole time. And you'll know when you look in His eyes that it's too late. Because today is the day of salvation. And when the Lord does return, it'll be too late. Don't. Let the power of Jesus to change your life pass by you this day. If you have not been baptized for the remission of sins to be added to the body of Christ, today's the day. If you've lived the life of sin and you've fallen short of the glory of God, to repent and to make that faithful confession this day, today is the day. Do you have a need this day? If you do, we wholeheartedly invite you to come forward now as we stand and as we sing.